Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vascon Engineers Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Rudra. Good morning, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to the Vascon Engineers Quarter 3 and 9 Month FY26 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the third quarter and the 9 month ended on December 31st, 2025. We have with us today the senior management team of Vascon Engineers Limited. We have Mr. Dr. Santosh Sundararajan. He's a Group CEO, and with him, we also have Mr. Somnath Biswas. He's a Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange. Now, I invite Dr. Santosh Sundararajan to state his opening remarks on the company's performance for the third quarter and 9 month ended on December 31st, 2025. Post that, we will open the floor for the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This year is especially meaningful for us at Vascon as we complete 40 years of our journey. Under the theme "40 Saal, 40 Saal Bemisaal," we are proud to celebrate four decades of trust, execution excellence, and enduring relationships with our clients, partners, lenders, and stakeholders. This milestone reflects not just the scale and diversity of projects we have delivered over the years, but also the strong values, discipline, and credibility that have guided our growth. I warmly welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Vascon Engineers for the third quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2025. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I hope you've had the opportunity to review our Q3 and 9 month results along with the investor presentation, which is available on the stock exchange as well as the company's website. During Q3 FY26, EPC revenues were lower primarily due to the impact of election in Bihar state and delays in receiving approvals in a couple of projects, which has temporarily slowed execution. These are largely timing-related issues, and we expect execution to normalize as approvals are received and on-ground activity resumes. On the real estate side, revenue during the quarter was impacted by revenue recognition policy, under which revenue is recognized only upon completion of projects. As no real estate projects were completed during this quarter, no revenue has been recognized. In contrast, Q3 FY25 included revenue from the completion of Goodlight project, resulting in a higher base for comparison. On a cumulative basis, our 9 month FY26 revenue growth has been muted at around 1%, primarily due to the lower execution in the EPC segment during Q3 and the absence of any major project completions in real estate during the quarter. With the second half of the year typically being more conducive for on-ground activity, we expect execution momentum to improve, enabling teams to accelerate progress on ongoing projects and support more consistent revenue recognition in the coming quarters. Building on our operational learnings and current execution trajectory, we have outlined clear strategic priorities for the remainder of the year. EPC continues to remain a core focus area with emphasis on improving execution efficiency and expanding our project pipeline to support sustainable medium-term growth. We continue to actively pursue new order inflows and expect to secure meaningful EPC orders during FY26, which will further strengthen our order book and enhance long-term business visibility. In the real estate segment, we remain focused on optimizing our debt structure in a more cost-efficient manner to improve liquidity and financial flexibility. At the same time, we are prioritizing the timely completion of ongoing projects to enable revenue conversion and profitability while preparing the ground for upcoming project launches. Our growth framework is anchored by a simple principle of sustained growth powered by execution excellence and financial discipline. This is supported by a strong working capital position with total sanctioned limits of 745 crores, including both fund-based and non-fund-based. Of this, approximately 370 crores remains unutilized, with an additional 60 crore currently under appraisal. This liquidity position provides us adequate headroom to execute our projects without disruption. With strengthened banking support and higher sanctioned limits, we are well positioned for rapid resource mobilization across projects. Our available working capital can support execution of up to approximately 3,000 crore of incremental EPC orders, ensuring predictable growth, sustained execution momentum, and healthy cash flow visibility. During the current quarter, we also received a revised working capital assessment from SBI with improved commercial terms. This included better collateral leverage with collateral coverage reduced from 35 to 27%. SBI-led collateral optimization has unlocked incremental working capital without the need for additional security, thereby enhancing liquidity and improving cash flow efficiency. Additionally, bank guarantee margins for BGs exceeding 3 years have been reduced to 15% from 25%. BG commission rates have also improved. Further, CRISIL has reaffirmed our long-term credit rating at A- for the current year, reflecting the strength of our balance sheet, our liquidity position, and our banking relationships. Coming to our segmental performance, our EPC business continues to be the cornerstone of our growth journey. Over the years, we have built a strong track record, having successfully completed more than 225 projects, covering over 45 million square feet of construction across India. Our execution strength is backed by the team of over 500 skilled professionals across project management and engineering functions. In addition, our in-house design and planning capabilities enable us to offer complete turnkey solutions covering architectural design, structural engineering, and execution. This integrated approach reduces dependence on external agencies and speeds up our decision-making and helps maintain healthy margins. We continue to focus on large, high-value civil construction contracts, especially from the government bodies and reputed private players. A strong track record of quality execution and timely delivery has helped us build long-term relationships with marquee clients like AIIMS, NBCC, CIDCO, MMRDA, etc., and other leading institutions in healthcare, educational, industrial, and residential sectors. In Q3 FY26, our EPC revenue stood at 248 crore, reflecting a moderation of around 9% year-on-year basis. On a cumulative basis, EPC revenue for 9-month FY26 reached 676 crore, registering approximately 4% growth on a year-on-year basis. During the year so far, we have secured new EPC orders aggregating to 646 crores. In April 2025, we received an order from Royal Rides Private Limited valued at about 225 crores. During Q2 FY26, we secured an order of 161 crores from MSCB for South Amani Building at Haji Ali, Mumbai. Further, in Q3 FY26, we received an order of Navi Mumbai Municipal Corporation for a super specialty hospital at Belapur valued at 220 crores. As a result of these additions, as of December 31, 2025, our total order book stands at 2825 crores, which is approximately 2.8 times our FY25 EPC revenue, providing strong visibility for the next 2 to 3 years. The composition of the current order book is as follows. External EPC contracts account to about Rs. 2470 crores, while internal real estate projects contribute 355 crores. Approximately 77% of the total order book is from government-backed projects, which supports timely receivables and provides greater cash flow stability. In addition, the strategic engagement with Adani Infra India Limited, as discussed earlier, is expected to further support future order inflows and strengthen our EPC order book over the medium term. Now, let me provide an update on the real estate segment. In Q3 and 9-month FY26, we continue to see steady progress across our ongoing projects. During the 9-month period, we achieved new sales booking of 77,315 square feet, with a total booking value of 86 crore and collection of approximately 105 crore. While these sales will be reflected in the financial statements in line with revenue recognition norms, operational activity across the projects remains steady. We currently have 4 real estate projects under active development, the total saleable area of 0.78 million square feet, of which 0.65 million square feet is attributable to Ascon. These projects include Tulips in Coimbatore, Good Life in Talegaon, TOA in Kharadi, and Orchids in Santa Cruz, Mumbai. To date, we have sold 0.48 million square feet, booked cumulative sales of 303 crore and collected 238 crore. Revenue of 117 crores has already been recognized from Tulip and Good Life. Looking ahead, our near-term real estate pipeline remains strong and well-defined. It includes a joint venture residential project in Powai, Mumbai, the Prakash Housing Society redevelopment, for which all the approvals have been received and construction is expected to commence in Q1 FY27. Tower of Future, which is a commercial project in Baner, where the approvals are currently under process, and the 4-acre high-density housing Ajanta real estate development is also at a planning stage. Collectively, these projects represent a total developmental potential of approximately 1.494 million square feet with an expected gross sales value of 2360 crore. Of this, 0.82 million square feet of saleable area and 1,110 crores of revenue would be attributable to Vascon. Steady progress across ongoing projects and a robust pipeline in place, we expect the real estate segment to contribute in a more consistent manner over the coming periods. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q3 FY26, the company reported a consolidated total income of 254 crore in Q3 FY26, reflecting a year-on-year decline of approximately 15% compared to 298 crore in Q3 FY28. This is in line with the factors which have been outlined earlier. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 17 crore compared to 24 crore in the corresponding period last year. EPC EBITDA margins remained stable at around 10%. Overall, EBITDA was impacted by the lower revenue during the quarter, along with higher marketing expenses incurred in connection with new real estate launches. Profit after tax stood at 9 crore in Q3 FY26 as compared to 76 crore in FY25, reflecting a decline of 88% on absolute basis. This higher profit in Q3 FY25 was primarily on account of an exceptional gain of 75 crores arising from the sale of GMP. Excluding this exceptional item, the underlying profitability remained aligned with operational performance. Coming to 9-month performance, the company reported a consolidated total income of 725 crores for 9-month FY26 as compared to 698 crores for the corresponding period last year. EBITDA for the 9-month period, excluding profit from sale of resident hotels, stood at 53 crores as against 58 crores in the corresponding period last year. The EBITDA margin for the 9 months stood at 9% for the EPC segment. Profit after tax for the 9 months stood at 43 crores compared to 93 crores last year, reflecting a decline of 55%. The higher profit margin in the previous year was primarily due to the sale of GMP Technical Solutions. To conclude, while revenue during the quarter was impacted by these timing-related factors, our execution environment is improving. With a strong EPC order book, a healthy project pipeline and a strengthened balance sheet, we are well positioned for the next phase of growth. As execution momentum builds across projects, we remain confident in delivering sustained progress and enhancing long-term value for our stakeholders. With that, we now welcome your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from Stetford. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. So my first question was on the real estate side, okay? If we look at our orchids, now the presentation or the Q1, we had sold around 10%, okay? And currently, even after two quarters, we have sold only 13%. And why the velocity is slow, so slow in that project, and what can we do about it? Because the market seems to be good, so where are we stuck up there? Also, where did we lack? Or is it in the project design feature, lack of focus or something else? What can we learn from it? Because I don't think we would have expected or wished to do a slow sales in the project. So some thoughts of that will be helpful.
Yeah, the primarily your observation is correct, as because this is our first redevelopment project in Bombay. And you know the market size of the Bombay redevelopment project, unless project comes to the ground level or ground level up, the sales velocity is very unlikely to increase. There is a standard phenomenon is the most of the redevelopment project, except that the player who are playing the game for a long time, I'm not referring them, but for any segment, any new start, it is a mind psyche. So now we are at G+1 level, the visibility is much better, the inquiry is much better. And technically, as per the registration and booking is concerned, it is showing 10% to 13%. But there are another 10 odd bookings has happened, which has been token money and everything has been received. But the documentation process is on. Unless it is being done, we cannot reflect it. Once this will be reflected, then 10 will be converted into 20-25 kind of thing.
More than 25, actually.
More than 25, but yes, apparently as of now, since cell velocity was low due to this visibility and the ground level movement and all these things, but now since the movement is G+1 by G+2, good amount of inquiry is happening. The velocity of inquiry has increased substantially. And we are expected a good conversion on or before Gudi Parva.
And to answer your question on the design, no, I think all customers that have visited site have in fact expressed a lot of happiness on the features of the design, the you know, facilities that are being provided even with the limited space that we have. So we are very confident of our design and quality of the product. That is not under question. Also, we have strategized that, you know, as Somnath said, we have about 10-12 bookings which are not reflecting as we haven't done the registrations. These cash flows are available to keep the project going. So once we are about 25% sold, we do not even want to be slashing prices. So since it's a small project and our inventory is small, we are not unduly worried about the slower velocity. If we had more inventory and, you know, slightly bigger project, yes, I agree with you, we would have to take certain measures, including reducing the price a little bit if need be to ensure velocity is on. At this point of time, we accept it slow, but it's known to us and it doesn't worry us too much at this point of time.
Okay. And one more thing, I was going through our credit rating rational, or which has got renewed in the month of Jan 26. Okay. It states that the debt under real estate had risen to 147 crore as of FY25 and from 88 crores at the end of FY24. Currently, what would be the debt on the real estate side of the business? And also, it says the rating rational, okay, or it says that liquidation of long stuck inventory in real estate segment is a key monitorable, okay. And it says that the value of unsold inventory is rupees 320 CR as of March 2025. Can you give some thoughts on that? And also, yeah, what is the debt level on the real estate side of the business as of now?
The real estate side business, the debt level is once again in the range of 150 to 164 kind of things, and which is very inevitable. It is likely to happen if you compare the debt level of 24 or 80 odd crores. So at a point of time, everybody is aware that we are supposed to raise almost 100 crore through QIP, 125 crore from QIP, out of which 100 crore was earmarked for the real estate. But due to certain market condition and all these things, we don't want to dilute our equity base drastically. We dropped the QIP program. But obviously, the project cannot be stopped. The fund mitigation has to be done through other sources. So that's why the debt has been increased.
And also, a good chunk of this is not towards the 2-3 projects that are, you know, giving us sales and revenue at this point of time. We have Powai, we have Baner, and we have Prakash, all of which needed, you know, purchase of certain FSIs and approval costs to launch these projects. So, you know, that is why the borrowing is also looking a bit high at this stage.
And the second part, yes, the rating agency, that is a very standard phenomenon for rating agency for our real estate project, that sales velocity and inventory dilution has to be monitored. That is fine. Whatever the complicated project, there is no such inventory is left out. But ongoing project, there is a two way to look at us, because in books, certain of inventory is always being getting piled up due to the revenue recognition policy. The books will has to continue some good amount of inventory, which prima facie it is one side it is inventory, other side it is just advance from customer, and so all these things are happening. So we are not too much worried as the sales are happening. Yes, for what you are pointed for the home signal project, it was relatively slow, but now it is picking up, and also we are tying up some channel partners who is in that area who are predominantly operating in that particular segment. So we are quite hopeful that sales velocity will improve very significantly in coming days.
Okay, because in our strategic goals and objectives also, which is I think slide 4, okay, you stated that the goal is to optimize the real estate debt, okay.
And, yeah,
I mean, see, so when we say optimize, doesn't mean we will not borrow. I mean, let me be very clear on the real estate side. You know, there are various options available for us. Real estate, even though we are doing it on a joint venture basis, and I keep saying it's glorified EPC, the way we look at it, but even then, today, given the FSIs available in most land parcels,
premium FSIs and TDRs would have to be purchased. So even if we get the one FSI land coming from a landowner or a redevelopment from the society, the balance exploitability on the land has to be purchased by us. So there is an investment always needed. In possible cases where we are able to get private equity in or, you know, underwrite certain inventory in advance at a subsidized rate and get equity in, we always explore that option. But in some cases, when we know that, you know, it's a matter of 4, 5, 6 months by the time the approvals come and we are able to launch, and if private equity is coming at an extremely high cost, then we don't mind borrowing. Our current borrowings are well below 15-13%, and all of these borrowings are, in our, you know, assessment, not more than 6 to 8 months, there will be a rollover. These borrowings will remain as we continue to grow our EP, our real estate book, because if one project gets launched and starts giving us cash flows and revenues, another project would want to be launched and, you know, we would need to. But we will keep a constant eye on the amount of borrowing, the serviceability of this borrowing, and we will ensure that, you know, it is not going to create trouble for us internally.
And if you look at that slide 4 of that our presentation, we are talking about the optimization of debt in a most cost-effective manner. So the meaning is that there are a couple of debts initial level which has been taken at higher cost, and we are gradually converting into the lower cost. So cost optimization is the first step to happen. And then obviously the debt optimization, the debt, as long as we want to grow the real estate, debt will keep coming, keep going. That will keep on happening. But cost optimization is the priority to get it done. So it has to be cost effective in terms of the interest rate is concerned.
Okay, and one last question here on that side. This Vascon Good Life is nearly now 8 years old, okay, and we are at phase 1. Any views on when can we complete that project and sales, and do we plan to launch phase 2, or I think it will take more time for us to launch
phase 2? As of now, we don't have any plan to launch phase 2. As because that segment, this typically affordable segment, has its own challenge. At a point of time, 2015-16, all these things, there is some PMI scheme, there is some kind of movement happened, but that movement is not a very conclusive, a very, very high energy movement is there. So for to making a sale of this small segment and all these things, the effort, time, energy is equal as compared to the mid segment and higher mid segment. So phase 2 is very unlikely to get launched, but obviously the land, have land available in the phase 2 has to be monetized in most effective manner, that we are working, but not through it, may not be through the affordable segment.
Yeah. Okay. So we are looking at other options possible, you know, hotels or commercial. I mean, whatever option is possible on the balance land, we are open to it rather than sticking to our plan of doing affordable housing on the entire project.
And whatever phase 1, it is almost handed over. Majorly has been sold. Some inventory strategically we kept on hold, as because there is some strategic issue also. One, there is a lot of industry is coming over there, so there is a good amount of rental demand. So some big amount of inventory has been rented out, and at the same time, this same inventory has been acting as a collateral for our EPC segment bank guarantee limit. So any working capital limit needs some collateral, so that is being used as a collateral.
Thanks. I'll join back in the queue for further queries.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Siddhesh from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you are.
So mainly on a few projects like Kaushambi Medical and Vedanta Parmar appear to be largely completed, yet revenue of around 35 and 39 crore remains unrecognized. Could you clarify whether these pending amounts are due to any residual work or milestone-related formulators, or mainly because of delays in certification or payment from client on the government side?
See, the Vedanta, there is still some work has to be done. Almost 30 odd crores work has to be completed. So there is certain XYZ reason which we are discussing with the Vedanta top management also. So certain thing has been slowed down, and certain thing has decision is yet to be taken by them. But a couple of meeting has happened, so we are hopeful that by Q2 of this particular financial year, the project will get completed. It is most likely. That hospital project is almost complete. Is the handing over process and final bill certification is there. Nothing is nothing as such is major left out is there. Only the snag list completion and certification of the final bill, which takes its own sweet time to get it done.
Understood. And with around 370 crore of unutilized funds enabling execution capacity for like orders around 3000 crore, what
yes.
factors are contributing to the current slowdown in order inflows? Is this due to lower bid activity?
This is based upon the all the recent tie-up has happened with HDFC, then IDBI and realignment of this SBI working capital limit. So that's why 370 crore limit has now made available with us, which can be utilized, and that will be a good boost to back the order. Rest, Mr. Santosh will.
Yeah, I mean, the things, I agree with you, they're not links. I mean, we did have, currently we have 370 crore untied. It's not that 6 months ago we did not have any untied limits. So bank guarantee was a constraint for booking orders, I would say, a year or two ago. This entire year, not booking orders is not attributable to, you know, lack of banking relations or bank guarantee, to be honest. We have been trying, we have been filling a lot of tenders. We have even, as I said in the quarter call last year, that, you know, brought down our margin expectations by a basis point or so. We are ready to, you know, bid in the range of 13 rather than 15 even at this point of time. But we haven't, I mean, most of it's suddenly become a very competitive market in the space that we have been operating in UP, Bihar and Maharashtra. A lot of tenders were put on hold because of the municipal elections over here. Bihar also, a lot of things were put on hold because of the state elections, which have only about now stabilized in terms of the government body there. In UP, most of the tenders, I mean, we bid for a lot of tenders in UP and all of them have been going at, you know, -30%, -25%, where we have not been able to bid more than -10%. So it looks like a crazy, you know, horizon over there in terms of bidding. Now we are trying in Tamil Nadu, we are trying the private sector, we are trying in Karnataka as well. We are currently now L1 for, you know, couple of orders totaling to about 1300 to 1500 crores. We are hopeful that we will receive some good news in the short term. We are also talking to a couple, I mean, we are also in talks with a couple of projects where we feel we will be able to back or be competitive on a design and build basis. So the last year's order target was 1500 crores, which should have happened by March 2026. We are just a month away. We have done only 650 crores. So I'll make it amply clear that, you know, on that count, it does look like we have failed in a big way. But we are not unduly perturbed. It has become very competitive. We are ready to compete. We are ready to reduce our margins. And we are confident that, okay, whatever doesn't happen by March end will probably happen, you know, in the first quarter of next year, including, and so we are not going to reduce our targets cumulatively to next year. If it was 1500 for this year and 1500 for next year, 3000 plus crores by April 2027, we shall take it head on. As Somnath pointed out, the BG limits are in place. So now it is a matter of, you know, continuously bidding, and with some luck by our side, we are very confident we will get those orders in place and keep the growth story alive. But yes, it is not linear. It hasn't happened quarter on quarter in a linear way like we would all love for it to happen.
Understood, sir. That's it from my side. Wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mihir Vyas from Nine Rays Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you are.
Just a clarification question. So we book revenue in real estate on the project completion basis. Is it a percentage completion basis or complete project completion basis?
Complete project completion.
Okay. And any update or something on Adani tie-up?
Lot of discussions happening, you know, the modality. See, the Adani tie-up is not a typical contract award that you would get from any client. They want a partnership for us to work on the medium to long term together. And so they are also coming up with a totally new kind of a contracting methodology itself, which, you know, they are working out. So we've had a lot of technical discussions on that front with them. That has sort of been frozen in terms of responsibilities on their side, responsibilities on the project management consultant side, and responsibilities on our side as their contracting partners. They want us to be involved at a very early stage from design and planning itself. So at each stage, the responsibility matrix has been carved out. We have negotiated, discussed, and, you know, accepted all of that at this stage. Parallelly, about four projects at site, we have visited, we have started engaging with them on drawings, decisions, or in terms of planning on these projects. But it does, I mean, having said that, it does look to me that, you know, finally, in terms of receiving a concrete order for a particular project and starting revenue, it still looks, you know, at least 6 months away. So I don't see any revenue translating out of this in the next two quarters for us.
Okay, sir.
But once it starts, you know, once, I mean, we're very positive on this because there's a huge amount of work that they are talking about. And once the ball starts rolling and, you know, one or two projects get their approval and we start construction, from there on, it will be quarter on quarter, just incremental effect going to the next 2-3 years.
Okay, sir. And any update on the Thane land parcel?
No, nothing. The strategy remains the same. We are working on accumulating 25 acres road touch so that we can try and monetize it. And the corridor from the government will take away another 40 acres. I mean, we've said this over the last two calls as well. I think it remains, the status remains there.
So, sir, what you were suggesting before in the earlier calls that you're trying to procure more land from the other individuals involved in the area, is it improving? I mean, are you able to procure it?
It takes its own sweet time. I see the first target is to make 25 acres contiguous, which is road touch. So out of which almost 17-18 acres are going with us, and another 6-7 acre tie-up is going on. So it is happening at a different level of negotiation. And to crack the deal and to get everything converted, to verify all the documents, it takes its own sweet time. But our team is very much on to make it contiguous to 25 acres. So, but no as such remarkable, but like, Mindu sir, there is no as such movement has happened which is in position to be announced. The movement is going on significantly, but still it is to be converted something to make some announcements.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rishabh Dugad from Finovet Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations on completing 40 years for the company.
Thank you.
Since a large majority of your business, you know, usually comes from EPC and government clients, could you just explain to me how do you, you know, select the projects to bid for and what are the factors you evaluate before taking up the project?
Yeah, so firstly, I think we want to be a bit more exposed to good quality private clients as well. So we have set up a business development team to be aggressively working on the private sector as well. At this point of time, we are only about 20% on the private sector. We would like it to be about 60-40, at least 40 private, 60 government. We do not want to be 80% exposed to government. Although, having said that, at this point of time, you know, government projects seem to be the most preferred projects when we evaluate you know, where we want to put our resources, our bank guarantees, our staff and our bandwidth. We've had a good run with the government. To tell you how do we select these projects, it depends on states where, you know, the, for example, firstly, we our sweet spot currently is in the range of 300 to, you know, 700, 800 crores. So the projects which land up in this kind of a ticket size, most of them seem to be hospitals. That's why you would see a skew towards hospitals in our order book. It is not because we just like hospitals, but it is because projects where we seem to be competitive on a design and build basis, ranging from 300 to 600, 700 crores, mostly are hospitals. Other institutional smaller buildings, schools, etc. seem to be of smaller size. And then a lot of bigger airports and, you know, bigger infrastructure projects are in over 1,000 crores. So one is that sweet spot 300 to 800 where we qualify and where the competition is in line for us to be able to bag these orders. Second is we evaluate, you know, which department from the government is going to be funding this, because we stay away from politically sensitive potentially politically sensitive buildings which, you know, could land up in trouble if there is a change in government in the state during the tenure of the project. So we like to look for projects which are well funded, which will not be in the scanner of politicians once elections are close by or elections are over. You know, so these are mostly in second tier, third tier cities, villages where, you know, there is not much eyeballs. Yeah, so I mean, these are criteria we look at. But having said that, as I said, you know, I mean, at the end, we also have to win. This year, we haven't won enough orders. So we cannot be extremely choosy on, you know, more than many criteria that we want to put from our side.
Got it, got it. So my next question is in line of the EPS and government projects only. I just wanted to understand how the, you know, payment terms work for these projects, and are there any delayed receivables in these following projects and the trajectory of those receivables?
So receivables generally contractually, you know, the payment terms are monthly. So we bill every month. The mode of billing could be different depending on the mode of the contract. It could be an EPC contract, or it could be a item rate contract or a design and build EPC contract. But the billing will happen every month, and the payment is supposed to happen every month. Now, out of the, you know, 10-15 big projects currently we are working on, so far last 3 years we have not had any major issues of delay, except now. In the last 2-3 months, a big project in Bihar, Supol, where we have been doing more than 30 crore per month kind of work, that due to Bihar elections, from before Bihar elections till now, you know, our payments have been stuck, and we only received a small portion of what we should have received. And therefore, you know, a couple of months ago, we had to take the hard call of stopping or slowing down work at site. The labor has reduced, and we were not in a position to keep pumping money, or we are not. As a strategy, beyond the point, you know, we have always maintained that we will not pump money into someone else's project. So between the devil and the deep sea, we had no choice but to choose the devil and, you know, stop or slow down site. And that has, you know, significantly affected our revenue for last quarter as well. And our targeted revenue for the year also is going to be affected because of this. Even now, as we speak, we haven't received the receivables from the project, but we are in constant touch with the department and the government. Things have stabilized. Funds have been allocated. We expect the money to come in this week or maximum by next week. And once the money is in, we will remobilize and re-speed up the project. And so as we said in our results, there is no loss of overall revenue. There is no reduction in contract value or any such thing, or even in the profitability in the long run. I mean, a very small hit because of the overheads over the last 2-3 months. But it's a delayed recognition that is going to affect our targets for this year.
Understood, understood. So I think your goal is to, you know, increase your private client segment from probably 20 to 40, right? So,
yes.
Like, just wanted to understand, is there any difference between the project selection, based on EPC and government projects? And if you have any private client segment, are there any repeat customers for any new projects for these private clients?
Yes, so we have done repeat work for people like Godrej. We are now in talks with Mahindra. We are doing for Vedanta. We are doing for Capgemini. We are in talks with a couple of other IT clients who are coming up with their campuses. There are differences between government and private. Also, the kind of private clients that we want to engage with, our terms of negotiation would also differ. We, of course, have Adani going on in a different direction altogether. So, yeah, I mean, private is a big, big universe out there. With each private client, we set our own terms of guarantees that we would want to put up, or, you know, payment terms or advances or capital investment on their projects. All of these would be discussed case-to-case basis.
Understood. So I just have one last question. So it's regarding the outsourcing, if you do any, and, you know, is there any way you do any outsourcing so that your efficiency has increased?
See, we do not, as the, I mean, what we bring to the table is the civil side of construction is wholly governed by us. Of course, in our contracts, the labor is generally outsourced to labor contractors. Every now and then we do rent out certain assets. If we feel purchase of an asset for a short term is not the viable option, then we go with short term rental of, you know, maybe shutterings or some equipment at site. But for the civil works, other than this, you know, we control the entire process. We will not outsource it as a subcontract to someone. But when it comes to finishing and when it comes to MEP, some of those things come into our scope, and we are not experts. We will be part. We do partner and engage other experts to whom we outsource work.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much, and I'll join back with you.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchstone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Kanishk Shah from SK Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Kanishk. As there's no response, we move to the next question. Our next question comes from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from Steadford. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had one or two more questions. The first one is related to Royal Rides Goa. We have not seen much progress. Means if we look at the Q1 release, the size of the order, what was there and what is currently pending also at the end of Q3. So what is the progress on that, and means are we going full-fledged, or it will take some more time to go full-fledged on that project?
Yes, it has not started at all at site, and we do not see it starting for the next quarter as well. In fact, almost 6 months, because we are dependent. Our part of the contract is dependent on certain approvals that our client and has to obtain from the government. It's a ropeway project. We only have a small proportion of the overall project which the client is handling, and he hasn't yet managed to get certain approvals to start the construction at site. So I do not know at this point of time when it will start, but it doesn't look like this quarter, in the next 3 months, we will be getting revenues from that project as well.
And secondly, related to this Adani project, or not project, but when the initial press release came, it was a strategic tie-up or 5-year strategic alliance for three land parcels or three projects nearing 13 million square feet in Mumbai. So the discussions and the things which are happening are now happening beyond those also, or for those this 13 million square feet which was initially thought of, that has been finalized. So can you give some thoughts on that? Means what is the progress on that initial 13 million square feet which was identified in Mumbai, and where are we?
So see, initially they did, you're right, they did speak to us about three big parcels in Mumbai that they have, which, you know, I mean, the parcels that they have and the capex plan and the execution, including something like Dharavi. So they are looking at lakhs of crores of investment into construction on these parcels in Mumbai itself. And that is why they have been talking, you know, with partners like us, because they do see that they would need partners to execute that volume going forward. Now, initially at the MOU stage, you know, they had to put in some number, and they did talk about what you did mention about three projects and, you know, so many million square feet or and this. But before those, see, these are massive projects. These would have, we have seen all these parcels. They have taken us, you know, they have shown the intent or the master plan in these projects. Each of them is at a different stage of approval. Some of them very nascent. Actually, there are a lot of trees in some of these parcels. Dharavi, you know, is a complicated, you know, parcel by itself. So while Adani works on getting these approvals and launching these massive projects, in the meantime, they have started engaging with us on other reasonably smaller, I mean, smaller by their scale, quite big by our scale projects in Mumbai, in Ghatkopar, and also, you know, in some other cities they are talking to us. They have a lot of airport site developments happening in other cities by the airports that they have got awarded to manage. So, yes, every time we do meet them, they do have various other projects they talk about. We are engaging on 4-5 at a very design stage at this point of time, and these four are not the bigger ones that are to come, which were originally discussed. So these are beyond that.
And the originally discussed one, do you expect we can have some progress in FY27? Or means first half of FY27 now at least, or it may take more time in those initial three projects?
Actually, see, I find it very difficult to answer this, to be honest, because what is the priority at Adani, and when are they wanting to get the approvals and launch these projects? Because the horizon that they have and what we've seen is massive. So which ones do they want to launch first? How do they want to move about? What is their internal strategy quarter on quarter? Is something which we are not privy to. And it will be second guessing ourselves to say when these projects will start. As I said, there are trees on these parcels, which means from a real estate angle, from our experience, we know that if the trees are still there, and then you have to get tree cutting approval and then environmental approval and then plan approval and start. Even if you're an Adani, 6 to 8 months is a minimum timeline, to start any of these. But whether they are actively working on it to start in 6 to 8 months or whether it will go to 12, 14 months, I would not be able to second guess. But having said that, there are other projects. That's why I said the good part is that they are talking to us on so many other projects that I do foresee revenue definitely starting on this or that in the next financial year, for sure.
Okay. Thanks, and I appreciate your frankness and clear communication which you do with us as shareholders. Thanks. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Kanishk Shah from SK Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. In the previous call, the management said that an FY26 EPC revenue target around 1200 crore along with an EBITDA margin of aspiration of 10% to 12%, right? And also they guided for FY27 EPC revenues of around 1400 crore plus. So as of Q3, the company has executed about 720 crore of EPC revenue compared to roughly 1080 crore approximately achieved in the previous year. So that indicates around 300 crore is required to reach the last year's revenue level, and an additional 150 200 crores to meet the FY26 growth target. So in this context, can you please share the management's current perspective, the achievability of the revenue and margin targets, considering the execution process so far and prevailing competitive bidding environment?
Yes, you are right. It does look like we will not achieve what we projected up to last quarter in terms of 1200 plus crores. It was a target. We were on track till Q2, although Q1 and Q2 revenues are normally less. When we assessed our projects, we were very confident in Q3 and Q4 we will be able to achieve those executions to reach 1200 crore. However, as I said, one of our top projects, which was Supol, which was giving us 30 crore revenue per month, which by itself in a quarter could have given us 100 crores, has slowed down since September. And in the last 2 to 3 months, we have done no work over there, which is a direct loss of about 100 crores of revenue. Also, Capgemini project, they've had some internal processes within their company, certain decisions they wanted to relook at in terms of their capex. And so they slowed down the project for a bit in Chennai. So what, again, about 30, 40 to 50 crores of revenue for the year is easily not going to be achieved in Capgemini, which we should have achieved thanks to our clients' delayed decision making. And the last one, third project, which again is not giving us the throughput that we thought we will get, is at Sindhudurg, the hospital that we are doing at Sindhudurg. That also, due to certain decisions from the government side, client side, our bill approval process, that also got stuck. So these three projects, which were supposed to give us, so we do see a lag. We will not be able to catch up in one quarter now from 750 to 1200. So that's amply clear. So we will probably, end up hopefully at same levels as last year or slightly better is what our current target is. But as I said, none of this is a reduction in our scope or reduction in contract value or loss of revenue in the overall picture. It's a delayed revenue. So we then hope to be more aggressive in catching up on all of this in the next year and achieve that 1400, that we had set. So while 1200 might drop, will drop, let me be amply clear, 1200 doesn't look achievable. I would be, not right to project those numbers standing where we are standing now. But next year, we hope to then catch that back and put the growth trajectory back to that 1,300-1,400 crore target that we would take.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundararajan for closing comments.
I thank all the participants for the continued interest. I do realize that, you know, while for we take a lot of pride in projecting and achieving our projections, this quarter we have fallen short of what we would have wanted to achieve, and our, you know, revenue is also going to reduce. Our order booking is also not up to what we have projected. I'm aware, the company is aware, but we are very actively working on it. There's nothing fundamentally or structurally wrong, and you know, all of this is a temporary blip which will be overcome in the next few quarters. So I appreciate your trust in the company and looking forward to see you all again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Vascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.